This is Anti-Capitalist Feminisms, the only podcast where you get to listen in on the conversations that anti-capitalist feminists are having. I'm your host, Emily Bergerson, here to influence the way you think about social systems and challenge you to imagine how they could look if they worked for all of us and not just those at the top. Welcome back to Anti-Capitalist Feminisms. Today I've got a brand new topic for you. We're talking about the importance of anti-capitalist feminisms. Maybe you're a feminist. Maybe you're an anti-capitalist. We all kind of think that you should smash the two together. We think they're better that way. And we're going to use this episode to tell you why. Hopefully you'll see why we think your anti-capitalism should be feminist and your feminism should be anti-capitalist. So without any further ado, let's hear what these folks have to say. First, we'll hear from Alana with her views on why it's vital to combine anti-capitalism and feminism.
It's my way of seeing the world, so it's it impacts everything I do. I hate using the word praxis because it's such a women's studies term, but it's true. And I do think if I didn't have the access to learning about these concepts, I would not see the world this way. And I'm really grateful that I do. I appreciate that my worldview can understand different things more deeply, and I can understand why things happen. Obviously, I don't like why they happen. When shitty things happen to groups of people, I can understand the different ways that it could happen. I guess it's given me a lot of insights on the destruction of our world when you're a young person, you don't understand how mortifying things like that could happen. And then once you learn about a lot of systems of violence and oppression, you begin to understand how these things happen, and it doesn't rationalize it, but it makes it clearer in ways that you can fight it versus feeling hopeless. If you don't care about women, number one, I don't trust you. Number two, women statistically hold most of the world's labor and get paid the least amount for it. Women, statistically cannot create laws about their own bodies. They make up most of the nurturing, in air quotes, jobs we see. So, they're nurses, they're mothers, they're farmers, they cook, they're cooks, they're doctors. They do a lot of they caretake people, which is obviously underpaid work. So if you're not even if you don't view it from, a human level, you can at least view it from a level of if I don't care about women, if my analysis isn't anti-capitalist and feminist, then I'm ignoring half the population who is the backbone of, the world, basically. Mothers are basically the backbone of the world, and working class moms and everyone, women do basically everything. So
thank you to Alana for reminding us that not only are women the backbone of our communities, our world, and our workforce, but that if we're not participating in anti-capitalist feminisms, we're doing them a disservice by devaluing their work and allowing that to happen. Up next is Dara with their take.
The realization that women won't be freed from exploration and that capitalism just changed the way we are exploited, because it was very different from the, stay-at-home mom from the 40s, 50s, or whatever, from the CEO women, business women, who kind of oppresses lower class women. And I don't think that's feminist at all. So I think it's very important to have that notion. And I think that we have to come to an agreement that feminists come in various ways, in various shapes and forms. And that even though we are different, we have to share the same goal. And we also have been oppressed for many, many different reasons, but the main one is that we are women and we live on a capitalism. I think that women's issues are everyone's issues, and especially because we are living under capitalism. So even though I'm a woman and you're a woman, we have different realities, but we can share realities and experiences with other people that aren't actually women. I'm Latina and I can share experience where not a Latino man, but we are different genders. Either way, we are under capitalism and we are oppressed for various reasons, but those reasons intersect. So I think that this is a nation that we should unionize and fight together for our freedom.
I'm loving the emphasis that Dara is putting on unity in the movement over differences, because if we don't have each other through this, we don't have anything. Now we'll head over to hear from Erica, see what they have for us today.
A lot of what I feel personally and what I see in the world and what like I live is like, yes, we need to strive for equity, but that can't ever be done in a system that is inherently inequitable. So it's really important to center that anti-capitalism and feminism, because in my view, you can't really enforce in a way that is holistic and robust and like lasting feminist principles without first addressing capitalism and being anti about it. Like, I don't know, I'm having trouble like answering this question, because I'm just like, it's just like a part of who I am. And I try to at least live that a lot throughout my life. Obviously no one is perfect, and I never do that 100% awesome all the time, because that does not exist for anyone. But I guess the biggest part of all this is that it just has to do with the way in which systems of oppression are broken down. And I feel like that process is anti-capitalist feminism is integral to actually breaking down systems of oppression, which is stuff that I actively try to do. So yeah, I think that both of those tenets kind of standing alone are very powerful, but when combined together, they have even greater power. So I guess if you're thinking about like intersectionality in the sense of like, there's a lot of overlapping things that impact individuals' lives in very unique ways. There's a lot of things in terms of capitalism and in terms of feminism that impact people's lives. And when you look at it more deeply, they're intrinsically like linked. In terms of feminism, like I mentioned, is trying to get at creating equity for everyone. Anti-capitalism is trying to break down all of those oppressive systems. So I feel like they go together very fluidly and help support the goal of one another. In a radical sense, there's a lot of not radical feminism that does not really support that. I think that anti-capitalism kind of works to, it can work to get past those kind of superficial, more like white feminist values that you often see in like the mainstream, and helps to like fully acknowledge the systems of oppression that undergird everything and bring them into the forefront of feminism and make those more essential tenet of what feminist actions actually are.
Erica makes an excellent point here about our movements actually getting to the root of exploitation and oppression. This is undeniably important to think about when we're doing this work, because why put effort into work when we're not getting to the real root of exploitation and oppression? Up next is Ollie. What do you have to say about all this?
I just think that it is important for people to be treated as valuable, and that we as a society treat women and workforce laborers as disposable, especially minorities. And I think that the most important thing about being an anti-capitalist feminist is considering like all different types of women, being trans women and Black women and gay women, and not just kind of what the historical implications of what feminism is, being just white women and their issues and their not one, you know, because when you think about feminism, you think about people complaining about the 1920s to current day. Most of the waves had been around like wanting to participate in the workforce more, equal pay, you know, needs that were not crucial to their survival, whereas there were other women who were like their lives were at stakes, not just their ability to, just because they're so intertwined. Women are the ones who are being disproportionately affected by capitalism, and we live in capitalism is almost a product of, maybe not a product, but is very interwoven with the patriarchy. Like when you think about who the quote unquote like elites are of our country, it's men. and it's rich billionaire men. So yeah, there's not, you can't really have one without the other.
It seems very profound to think of this in terms of who's fighting for survival and who holds all the power, and why are these categories formed in this way, and what has formed these categories, and how can we change that? It actually reminds me of a quote. Anti-capitalist feminist icon Audre Lorde stated, "Much of Western European history conditions us to see human differences in simplistic opposition to each other. Dominant, subordinate, good, bad, up, down, superior, inferior. In a society where the good is defined in terms of profit rather than in terms of human need, there must always be some group of people who, through systematized oppression, can be made to feel surplus, to occupy the place of the dehumanized inferior. Within this society, that group is made up of black and third world people, working class people, older people, and women." Now we'll hear from Olivia with her insight on the importance of anti-capitalist feminisms.
You can't be a liberal feminist and be an anti-capitalist feminist. To make it more simplified, it's just like the way I define myself as a feminist, anti-capitalism is in its framework. So that includes accessibility and for like women of color, that should include universal income. Of in like an ideal society, we wouldn't have to worry about money, but putting people before money or devaluing money in the first place. But also we need to disqualify any value that we put on a hierarchy of receiving money, because it's crazy to me to think that we as a society put value on pieces of paper or digits in our banks. And I think that's kind of sometimes, you know, like I'll have my own cognitive dissonance because I mean, I work for money, as a lot of us have to, but like I work at a retail store. And so consumerism is a big part of my life. And also I am a consumer. I think maybe a lot of people out there who might identify as anti-capitalist feminist experience that cognitive dissonance, because it's like you are basically, you learn from an early age that we are supposed to purchase these things in order. We live in a materialistic society. We reproduce the values of the economy and money and capital over human value. Also, something that I value in anti-capitalist feminism is that it has allowed me to see the world through a specific lens where like we are in a time like during the pandemic, we have a lot of issues going on, not because of the virus itself, but because of our lack of resources, because of our capitalist society. Yeah, anti-capitalism is in my feminist framework because when we're in a patriarchal society, capitalism is very much what fuels all of the inequalities that we experience on a daily basis. I really value bell hooks's framework. Anti-capitalism, for me, that represents not only the patriarchy, it represents white supremacy, it represents imperialism, it represents heterosexism, it represents all of the major social structures or oppressions that I and other women or gender minorities, people of color, queer folks, low income, so it affects all of us in everything we do. That framework needs to be in everyone's feminism because it does not only affect us as individuals, as a society, community, as people, it affects our earth, our environment, and indigenous people.
Olivia really captures the nuance of the lens of anti-capitalist feminism and how once you get into thinking through this framework that everything makes sense. It kind of goes back to what Alana was saying, is that you see the problem and why it's a problem, and then we can start to think about how to fix it through that. Now, listen up, because Lydia will be sharing with us now.
The idea that people are profiting off of oppression, I mean, that's just very jarring from the get-go. I tend to look at things from a very intersectional perspective. And so it's just really gross to see the criminal justice system profit off of the exploitation of people of color and poor people. It's gross to see the beauty in the fashion industry profit off of making women feel like shit. And it's gross to see recently with a dramatic increase in like how accepted queer people are. Now that is the case, all of a sudden companies that have been homophobic for years and years and years are like, oh yes, I'm gay now too, just like you. When it's just like, no, you've only changed your perspective because it's profitable. If you're not acknowledging capitalism when you're looking at feminism, then you're not looking at the root of misogyny and the patriarchy and like things that the reason why these things still exist is that it's beneficial to people. It's profitable to have these things around. And so if you're not to look at the origins, like the root cause of these things, there's no way to get feminism to permeate throughout society in any sort of meaningful way.
I think we can all agree with Lydia. Profiting off of the exploitation of others is really gross. Now I'm serving up Sammy's hot takes.
I think feminism in general is very important, in particular. And then adding on top of that, the layers in which capitalism affects femmes in particular, it's very, very integral that we do come together in that way and with that as a part of our agenda, because you can't really have feminism without being, there's a lot that goes into that matrix. But I think that we as females are particularly affected by the negative aspects of capitalism and have to reap a lot of those downsides, I suppose, and silently, which is something that I find is a lot more painful than being able to express it. So being an anti-capitalist femme does allow a platform for expression in that way, and it can, then spread into kind of becoming a solidarity for, us that haven't really had the chance to express the ways that it has painfully affected us throughout our experiences, systems. And I think that in itself is just really powerful. Again, I think that provides a really unique platform. I think it is really, really, it's just powerful in that sense, because when females and women come together, first of all, capitalism is forced to divide between women and the rest of the world, which is obviously huge, being a patriarchal society. And so I think women and femmes all around the board haven't been allowed or empowered to have experiences with each other that have felt anything close to solidarity, I guess. I'll use that again, just because it feels, that's a feeling of, that raw realness where you can safely come out of yourself and into conversation with other people who you know have experienced something similar or the same, without that feeling of needing to compete or needing to be this way or that way or have, external accomplishments defying you. And so I think that in itself is defiant to capitalism as a system and as a very insecure and obviously unstable system, as we're seeing during this pandemic, which is so amazing. Just interesting all around the board. I think that definitely poses a very peaceful threat to the way and the mannerisms that it works. And I think that, again, there's a lot of power in that, and it's something that both will, create bonds between women and femmes that would not otherwise exist and that need to be there in order for us to rise as, as a whole, as a collective. And will also create that kind of connection between capitalism and feminism that often goes ignored.
Sammy really highlights the specific impact that capitalism has on women and femmes, which is important to think about when we're combining anti-capitalism and feminism. Next, Ella joins the conversation.
I really, 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 really want everyone to be supportive and have a great life. And so I think that feminism for me is a little bit more understandable because I am a woman and a lot of those issues are very prevalent to me. So it was kind of an easy way to get into politics. And then as I've realized, there are so many different issues. Capitalism, the way it's set up, there has to be someone on the top that's taking advantage of people below. So I believe that if we could take down capitalism and incorporate more socialism ideals into our society, that it would improve the lives of women and minorities and people of color. I think that if we want to make real changes for women in this country, we can't really operate with a capitalist society. It's easy to get focused on one issue, but every single issue in our country and all over the world is like all combined. So if you want to tackle one issue, you have to tackle all of them. And so I think breaking down capitalism would change so many problems that we have in our society right now, like as it comes to jails or the political system that we have, or two-party system.
Ella makes a point here that under feminism, we're worried about more identities than just women. And I feel that bringing anti-capitalism into this feminist analysis does bring us one step closer to the liberation of all people that we're concerned about under the model of feminism. Because just empowering women on the surface isn't going to do all that work for us. Similar to that, Tithi Bhattacharya said, "We want empowerment for women, but not the kind of empowerment where some women become CEOs and then become responsible for the violence towards the vast majority of other women." Our last guest on today's episode, Emily, will now share why she doesn't think your feminism is very feminist if it isn't also anti-capitalist.
I think that, like, being someone who is strongly part of, like, femme culture, you know, I'm read as a femme person and I express myself in a lot of feminine ways. I think that being femme in general under a capitalistic society, like, you're oppressed and, like, deemed as, like, not as powerful and not as capable and not as worthy of, like, the resources that are more easily distributed to masculine people and people in those powerful positions. The awareness of what capitalism does and how it works and how it works in alignment with the patriarchy. You can't, in my opinion, be a true feminist or activist for femme people without being anti-capitalist. Combining feminism and anti-capitalism allows for you to not only fight for just the one identity that seems on, like, the surface of what feminism is. Like, you hear the word feminism and you're like, you automatically, just by the semantics of it, you're like, oh, that has to do with females or women or femme-identifying people. And yes, definitely it does, but also these people who are femme-identifying, like, they also carry on all these other identities that are affected by the capitalistic structure and are oppressed by the capitalistic structure. And so if you ignore the issues under capitalism and just focus on uplifting femme-identifying people, then you are doing a disservice to so many femme people, because, like, it's just one little side of a very multidimensional shape that you can't disregard all of the identities that intersect for each human being by only focusing on trying to make equal rights for something like gender identity.
That's it for this episode of Anti-Capitalist Feminisms. If you'd like to tell us why anti-capitalist feminism is important to you, please email us at femradiopresents@gmail.com. That's fem, F-E-M-M, radiopresents@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and you can join us next time to hear our anti-capitalist feminist origin stories.
But every country and all over the world.
You've been listening to Femme Radio.